Let's all stand together, please. Genesis chapter number 3. And I'll be reading one verse of Scripture. It was in your bulletin this morning. And that is verse number 20 of Genesis chapter number 3. The Bible said there, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, this morning for the Sunday school time we've had, the songs that we've sang, the good testimonies and the fellowship. We rejoice in that. I ask you to bless thy word now to our hearts today. Give us just a few moments, and may the Spirit of God speak to us, work in us and for us and help us. I pray, Lord, for the special touch that we need to say something that'll grace the hearts of the church today and bring glory and honor to your name. We do pray, Lord, for Brother Shelby and Miss Louise as they travel, for Brother Shelby's mother, and then we pray especially for Connie that you'd help her in this time. Give the grace to family and her. Give the family the grace they need and her as well. Bless now, Lord, I pray, in this time, and we'll thank you for what's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. You know, today is a day that we have nationally set aside to honor our mothers. And it's written on the calendar as Mother's Day. And we certainly want to try to do that here at the church this morning. To do our best to honor our mothers, everybody here, and everybody under the sound of my voice. In fact, everybody that's living, as I said in Sunday school, has one thing in common, and they all have a mother. And, you know, I know some mothers have not been godly mothers, but there have been those that are godly, have been godly and are godly. And we can be so thankful for them. And I'm sure that we could stand up here, each one of us, and tell story after story about our own personal life and experience with our own mother. My mother has gone on to be with the Lord. I'm grateful for, and like Miss Megan, I'm grateful for every smack that I got. And most of the time, though, it wasn't with a spatula, it was with a peach limb. Amen. And I'm grateful for that. I'm glad that I had a mother that cared for me enough to correct me when I was wrong. And so I want to say a few things about mothers this morning. And I'll be very brief, and I'll guarantee you on that. But I want to say, first of all, that a mother, that the first thing that comes to my mind is here in the text, that a mother is a life giver. A mother is a life giver. In fact, that is what the word Eve implies. Living, or a giver of life, or a life giver. And a mother, in essence, is not eternal life, but every mother has given physical life to all of us that are in here. And I got to thinking about that life and about a mother, about her being a life giver, and I thought that that giving of life does not begin at birth. That baby is conceived, and for 9 months, you and I that are here today are there about 9 months. We lay in our mother's womb until it come time for us to be born, to be brought into this world. And has it ever occurred to you that the entire 9 months that you abode there, that it was your mother that nourished you? It was your mother that gave you life while you was in that womb. She fed you while you were in that womb. And I'm amazed at that, that our mothers fed us while we were in the womb. And then as we were born, they nursed us. And then when we were weaned, they began to feed us. And then through the rest of our life until we left home, they cooked our meals and set it on the table and fed us. So in so many words, Eve, our mother, is a life giver. And it does not just start at birth. It begins at conception. And, you know, I want to thank God today my mother gave me life and brought me into this world. And I believe she brought me into this world through the perfect will of God, just like you're in this world. I don't know why we're here. You can't explain that. Neither can I. I had nothing to do with where I came from, what family I was born in. But here I am. I was born to Truman and Marietta Harris Hall back in 1946. And I had nothing to do with that. But I can honestly say that I'm glad that my mother brought me into the world. Now, I think of Mary, the mother of our Lord. God chose her to bring Jesus into this world. And in essence, God chose your mother to bring you into this world. And I don't think that we realize sometimes what a woman goes through to bring a man or a woman into this world, to give birth to a child. Do you realize, men, that they actually go down into the jaws of death to deliver a child? It's not been many years ago that many mothers died at childbirth because they didn't have the modern technology that they have today. I think of our daughter-in-law, Angie, out in Springfield at this very moment. She's carrying their fifth child, and the doctors are concerned about her. She's got a baby in her womb there already called Kinsey, a little girl. And she is giving life to that child. But according to those doctors, she's got problems, and at any time, she could not only lose her own life, but the life of that child as well. And it's my prayer to God that He would continue letting her sustain that baby in her womb until the day that rolls around for God, for that baby to be taken from that womb and birthed into this world. And so a mother is a life giver. Eve was a life giver. And I've got to hurry on. A mother is not only a life giver, but a mother is the bond that holds the family together. You realize, and I know some of you may and some of you may not, but the word mother literally means bond. That's exactly what it means. It means a bond. And I don't know about your house, but I know at my house when I was being brought up, it was my mother that held our family together. I say this as lovingly as I know how. I was raised in the home of a drunk. And he did very little when it come to holding our family together. But my mother stayed there through thick and thin. I mean, she fought the battle. If any woman ever had a right to leave her husband, my mama did. But she come from the old school. And she knew divorce wasn't right. And she stayed with my daddy and literally held our family together. There's been many times us older boys have been driven from our own home, and it was our mama that went with us, and like a mother hen would gather us under herself and take care of us and protect us, and she held that home together. Amen. Somebody said, well, how did she do that? Well, three ways that come to my mind. Number one, she holds it together by her love. By her love. You know, there's many loves in this world. There's no greater love than that love of God. For God loved the world and gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And folks, there's no greater love, known to mankind than that love that God has for you and I, for His creatures. But He has that love for those that He's recreated as well, a special love. There's no other love like the love of God. And then I thought about the love of a husband and his wife. The Bible said that husbands are to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And that is a worthy love. But I'm here to tell you there is another love. It's not equal to God's love, but I'm telling you a mother's love for her children is something that will hold that family together. Now, there's just something about a mama's love. Now, daddy was the lawgiver, but in mama's eyes, generally we found grace. And you can say amen to that. Amen. Megan talking about getting that spatula across the hand, we probably needed it upside the head if the truth was known about it. Amen. But mama was a grace giver. Mama was the lover. I'll never forget my Aunt Nellie. Bless her heart, she raised two children by herself. Her husband left her right after those children were born. He ran off and deserted her and moved to Louisville and left her. And she raised those children on her own. And I can still hear her now. As my daddy would be cutting that limb off that tree, Aunt Nellie, she'd had a stroke, and she'd come down over that hill, and she'd say, "Now, Truman, you leave them boys alone. Them good boys." And I'm going to tell you, I didn't like to run from my daddy, but I always knew if I had Aunt Nellie there that I was well protected by her. And you know why I was? Because she loved us boys. She had us, even though we were mean as the devil, she loved us boys. And I want to say, hey, isn't that the way all mothers are? I'm telling you, every one of you mothers in here could stand up and testify that your children have been meaner than a junkyard dog. Some of them are meaner than snakes, but you still love them. There's some mothers that have children that are lost, but they still love them. There's just a love there with that mother, and that love will hold that family together through thick and thin. And I would encourage every one of you mothers in here today not to hide that love from your child. Hey, tell them you love them. You'll never wear those words out. I love you. I love you. Let them know that you love them. Amen. That's right. Now, Miss Hall had no idea that I put those flyers back there in that room on yesterday. And I was at trying to buy a Mother's Day present yesterday. I had to get on the phone. I said, "Honey, that ring you wanted, what color was it?" I didn't remember. I bought her some rings and this and that. I didn't know what color it was. She said, "A green one." I said, "Okay, I'll get a green one." And when I bought her flowers and that card, I just wrote a little note on it. I said, "Sweetheart," I said, "I may forget a lot of things that I've bought you in my life. But I said, there's four things that you've given to me that I'll never forget. I said, you gave me you back in January the 15th of 1967. I said, you gave me Lisa on July the 11th of 1968. I said, you gave me Tammy on February the 26th of 1970. And you gave me Gary Wayne on May the 11th of 1974. And I'll never forget that. That is a mother. She brought those children into the world. Amen. And hey, as a gift to me, I believe. And I really believe my wife loves those children. She went down into the Georgia, and I think it's been her love primarily that's held our family together. Hey, it doesn't hurt to tell your child you love them. I don't care how mean they are. I don't care how far in sin they've went. I don't care what they've done. Tell them you love them. And I'll guarantee that'll hold that family together. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, I'm not going to tell them I love them if they've sinned against God and went out into the world and done this and done that." I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you were on the bottom of the barrel in order to be in hell, God still loved you. And the Holy Ghost came to where you were in your sin and told you about God's love and brought you out of that sin. How much more should not a mother, if she's got a child that is wayward, if she's got a child that's out in sin, keep on loving that child and praying for that child and even telling that child, "Hey, Mama still loves you. I don't love what you're doing, but I do love you." Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that love is a bond that will hold that family together. You know, I want to say also that mother's labor will hold that family together. I got this out of Proverbs on that virtuous woman. And Solomon said there in chapter 31 and verse 10, said, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." Now listen carefully. "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Here's one of the verses. "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." Amen. Worketh willingly with her hands. And I'm telling you, the labor of a mother, will put a bond in that family. We didn't have much when we were home, but I'm going to tell you, my mother labored to take care of that home. We didn't have too good of clothes to wear, but my mother labored to keep those what few clothes we had clean. My mother labored to iron those clothes. Hey, some of you jacklaggers in here have done forgot about that. You've done, that's right, you've done forgot about how Mama washed your old nasty drawers and hang them out on the line to dry, and how she washed your pants and dried them and ironed those pants. I'm talking about the old-fashioned way. We didn't have fluff and dry back in my days. We had wringer washers or a washboard and hang them out on a clothesline and iron them with an old-fashioned iron. Say amen right there. And my mother was a laborer. There's no doubt about that. And I find that all the labors here in this chapter that she did, all the labors were around the home. None of them was outside the home. That's why her love can hold a home together. That's why her labor can hold a home together, is because her love and her labor is centered around that home and around that family and not out yonder somewhere in the workforce. Amen right there. That's exactly right. I know that's right. Amen. Notice this next verse. Not only verse 13, but notice what it says. It said, she seeketh wool. She's not idle. She's not lazy. She seeketh wool. She doesn't sit by idly. But she goes out and seeks the wool. And she seeks the wool and the flax. And then she worketh willingly with her hands to make clothing out of that. She's not an idle type person. She's not a couch potato. Amen. She's not a soap opera woman.
There you go.
There's a lot of soap opera mamas. Come on in the house, and I'm going to tell you something else. There's a lot of mamas today letting the television raise their children.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Letting the television raise their children. That'll occupy them. That'll keep them occupied on that television. I'm going to tell you all to keep them occupied. If you want your love and your labor to hold that family together, mama ought to be the one that occupy their minds at home around the house. And I say amen.
Amen.
And by the way, ladies, I love you, and I congratulate you. You know why? Your work is never done.
Amen.
Men can come home, kick off their shoes, eat a meal, and sit down, but I'm going to tell you, a mother's work is never done.
Amen.
She is not a lazy person, and she's not an idle person. A lazy mother, I'm telling you, will have sorry children, but a woman that works and labors around the house will hold that family together. It'll put a bond around them. Notice also what it says. Look at verse number 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She does nothing without giving it thought. She considereth a field. You know, mamas, real mamas, don't do things just off the cuff. They sit down and they consider what they do before they do it. She considered a field, the Bible said. And then when she considered that field, she bought it, and with the fruit of her hands, she planted a vineyard. And I looked at that with the fruit of her hands, and I thought, Lord, what does that mean? With the fruit of her hands. And I'll be honest, I don't know that I got fully a hold of it. But it's with the product of her hands, what her hands can do. What a mama has learned to do with them things right there. You'd be amazed what a woman can do with them hands right there. She can thread a needle that I couldn't begin to thread. She can sew up a pair of pants that I couldn't sew up. Now I'm going to tell you, and she learned to do things with those hands. And she's thought this thing through, and she saw that field and realized that it would be a good field to plant a vineyard in it to provide for her family. And she bought that field, planted a vineyard in it, and provided for it with her family. And she planted that vineyard with the fruit of her hands. Now, let's just go right on. Go right on. Look at verse number. Oh, I'll get to it in a minute. Look at verse number 16. Again, she considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands and planteth a vineyard. She does nothing without giving it consideration, and she uses the abilities that God has given her. The abilities. I've heard a lot of women say, I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't have the ability. I've heard women say, I don't have the ability to raise a child. I beg to differ with you. If God has allowed you to bring a child into this world, God has given you the ability to raise that child. The problem is most women don't want to apply themselves to the abilities that God's given them. I'm telling you, mama's just got something about her and children that daddy don't have. Amen. Now I'm telling you, God's given a mama the ability. Hey, you know who a child runs to? If they fall and scrape a knee, they don't run to daddy. They head to mama. That's who they want. You know why? They've been around mama more. Daddy's out yonder. Mama's in here. They've been around mama a whole lot more than they have their daddy. And she uses those abilities that she has in that home. I want to say again, look at verse number 19. The Bible says she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Those two words are never mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. Nowhere else in the Bible. Notice verse number 20. She stretches out her hand. There it is again. Hands is mentioned so many times. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's generous. She considers her own blessing. She's been blessed. And she's generous to others. A real mother reaches out her hand to the poor. Boy, I'm going to tell you, we're long behind on that. That's right. I'm going to tell you, if families did right, they wouldn't need anything such as welfare. I'm going to tell them we wouldn't even need nursing homes. We learn to take care of one another. The old folks used to do it that way. I'm going to tell you, as I was a boy growing up, I don't remember anybody that died in the hospital or under hospice care. They died at home in their own bed. I remember the day my grandfather died. I mean, the family gathered around. My grandpa died in that little old back room on that house up on top of the hill across from my brother. I could take you right to the room right now if I wanted to. I was there the day that he died. He died in that bed as an old man. Amen. They didn't have hospice. They didn't have doctors there, nurses there. He just died. They're home. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. I don't know how they got off on that. But I'm going to tell you, we wouldn't need all those things if folks were right. Then I want to say, she holds that home together with her love. She holds it together with her labor, but she holds it together with her life. A mama's life is admired by her children. It was a blessing to hear Rebecca stand up and thank God, not only for her mother, but for her grandmother. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Their life will hold a family together. It's a bond. Now listen carefully. Look with me at verse number 26. The Bible says she opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. Her wisdom reveals her compassion and kindness. There's no kindness and compassion like a mama's. I have seen my mama get between me and my daddy before and keep him off of me. Because she knew I'm just telling you, because she knew I hadn't done anything to warrant what he was getting ready to do. She showed a little kindness and compassion. And mother, that's the way a mother is. Her law is a law of love and a law of kindness and a law of compassion. Mothers have that. Now, I'm going to tell you, not many mothers have that today. The jail cells are filled up with mothers that don't have that. Prisons are overloaded with mothers that didn't have that. Amen. They've been mothers that's run off and abandoned their children, brought them into the world, and run off and abandoned their children. They certainly didn't have much love and much compassion for that child. But thank God for a mama who will stay at home in her place, put three meals a day on the table, take care of that child, and have something ready when her husband gets home from work that day.
Amen.
That's right. And love those children. Play with those children. Hey, mama, learn to play with those children. Raise them up under the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. There ain't nothing wrong with getting out and playing with your own children.
Amen.
A lot of folks don't want to do that today. But I'm going to tell you, hey, you need to. Hallelujah. Like Lisa was growing up, you know how I played with her? I'd say, honey, go run your head through a wall. Now, I'm telling you the truth, buddy. She'd run butt a wall with her head and try her best to run her head through it. She'd do just about anything that Daddy told her to do. She'd do it. And we played together. We had fun together. Don't say, folks ain't got time for that anymore. We're either at a television, a computer, or we got them down to Little League place playing Little League ball most of the time on Wednesday nights. Come on in the house. But I'm going to tell you, a real mom will keep that child at home. And by the way, young people, look here. You better stay under the dress tail as long as you can. Oh, I know some of you tough boys. I can't wait to get out, boy. On my own, I'm ready and raring to go. You may not be quite as ready and raring to go as what you think you are. When you start making the car payment and the car insurance, when you start paying for a home and a light bill and a water bill and all the other bills that goes along with it, putting groceries on the table, you may change your tune. Brother, I sat down at Mom and Daddy's table. That meal never cost me a dime. The clothes I wore never cost me a dime. The clothes that were ironed never cost me a dime. My mama did it all. My daddy did it all. Never cost me a thing. But I'm going to tell you, when I grew up, I learned how things changed real quick. And you will too. You better stay under that dress tail as long as you can. Don't get in no hurry to leave home. Mrs. Hall was telling me that she, and I didn't know this, but Mrs. Rowland gave her husband's ring back to him three times. Three times. And finally her daddy told her, said, now Loretta, I'm telling you right now, you give that ring back to that boy. Said, you're disgracing me. Said, you give that ring back to that boy one more time and that's it. She never gave it back no more. You know what she said, though? She said, they had to drive me out of the house. I didn't want to leave my mom and daddy. I didn't want to leave the home. And I'm going to tell you, if children are brought up with the right kind of love from a mama, and that mama is a laborer in that house instead of out at the bank, come on now, you'll stand a whole lot better chance keeping those children at home than you are having them to run off somewhere down the road on their own. Amen. Amen, amen, Brother Hall. Amen. Amen. I knew we'd have a little hard time after everybody was bubbling and squalling and crying around this morning. But that mama's wisdom reveals her compassion. She manages the home with great discipline and devotion. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's got great discipline in her life. And mama, you've got to have some discipline in your life. Amen. You do. Can I say this in love? And you women can shake your head up and down. I know it's because it's going to hit every one of you. How many times have you been at home with all those brats and the daddy's been gone and all of a sudden you felt like going, and pulling your hair out. All these times, they can get on your nerves. I'm going to tell you, there is nothing that can get on your nerves any more than a little child can. Buddy, they can drive you up the yum-yum tree. But I'm going to tell you what, you got to discipline your mind and your life to the fact that you understand that they're little and they're going through those times, but you're going to have to work through those times with them and discipline them. Teach them a little obedience from you, amen, and discipline them. And the only way you will ever discipline a child is to be disciplined yourself. The reason kids today have no discipline is because their parents are not disciplined. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. And you know as well as you know you're living, you want to pull your hair out by the root sometime. I remember one time that Brenda's brothers, little girl was going to spend the night with us. And they was going somewhere. They dropped that kid off at our house. Sherry Kay. They dropped that young'un off at our house. And she sat right there in a chair for 4 hours and cried. I said, honey, you got to quit crying. She just kept on crying. I said, Sherry Kay, I said, I'm telling you right now, Uncle Gary's going to spank you if you don't quit crying. She just kept on crying. I want my mommy. I said, your mommy will be back after a while. I want my mommy. I said, I'm telling you right now, you got to stop that crying. She just kept on crying. Finally, I said, for crying out loud, will you shut up? You know what? She just kept on crying. You know when she stopped crying? Well, mama walked by through the door. So, that's itself. I'm talking about a mother. When mama walked in, boy, that is all it took to settle that little heart, bring peace to that heart, and restore that little heart to where it was before. I'm telling you, there is something about a mama that a daddy don't have, or nobody else, an uncle or aunt, or nobody else has got. That mama's got it, buddy.
Right.
When that mama walks through the door, things pick up with a little child. You better believe they do. Amen. That's right. Now, that mother, she's got some discipline and devotion. And then she's greatly honored by her husband and children. Look at verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. What about that? Her children rise up. Say, my mama is blessed. She's a blessed woman. She's done me right. And there's a husband standing off in the background saying, amen! Any of you men ever done that? You know what? You know what bothers me? Some of you men in here, when these girls are standing up saying, I want to thank God for my mama, why didn't some of you men jump up and say, hey, man!
Amen.
Because her husband also praises her.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm not necessarily just talking about this virgin woman. I'm just talking about a mother in general. But here it says her husband praises her. Now, two or three more things, and I'll be done. I know it's been kind of slow and weary, and I knew it would be. But she's a life giver. She's a bond that holds a family together. She's a praying person.
Amen.
Mamas, do you pray for your children? And if you do, when did you start praying? Hannah started praying for Samuel before he was ever born. She started praying and asking God to give her a man child before he was ever born. And I'll guarantee you, if she started that early praying the whole time that baby was in the womb, she was a praying for him.
Amen.
And when he was born, she was praying for him. When he was down there with Eli, she was praying for him.
Amen.
When he grew up as a man, she was still praying for him.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You ought to be a praying mama. Like Hannah. Prayer gets things done when nothing else will. When was the last time your child heard you pray for them, Mama? When was the last time that you slipped into their bedroom late at night and knelt down by their bed and prayed for them? When was the last time, children, that you heard your parents specifically praying for you? Somebody say, now, Brother Hall, don't embarrass me like that. I'm going to. I'm telling you, there's nothing like a praying mama. Buddy, I'm telling you, the prayers of a mama will get through. I'll guarantee you the prayers of a mama will get through. You bring that baby down and lay that baby on the altar and give it to God and pray for that baby. Now, I'm going to tell you that God will hear the prayers of a mama. You better believe He will. I believe a praying mama can see her son or daughter saved by the grace of God if you'll stay faithful and love that child and labor around the home and live the right kind of life before them. I believe God will hear their prayer. Hannah was a homebody. She loved that little boy before he was ever born. Before he was ever born.
Amen.
Now I'm going to say it. I've got to close up here. You know what I wrote down? I started laughing this morning. Show you how quickly I wrote these notes down. I wrote down for this number 4 point. I'm talking about Mary. Over in the book of Luke, how when Jesus was born, they all done this and done that. And said, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered them. And I put down on here, I wrote down, I said, she is a pondering wandering. I didn't mean she was a pondering wandering. She was a pondering person. Mary, when that little baby, when Jesus was born, she kept all those things in her heart and she pondered them. That is, she continually thought about them. Come here, Mama. Let me talk to you. Let me have your heart just for a minute. When that child was born in your life and you brought that baby into this world, did you look at little things that that baby did down through the years of its life and keep those things in your heart and ponder about those things? Do you ever recollect them? Do you ever bring them back to record and think about it? Can I use this as just a little illustration this morning? Just a little illustration. I hope I don't embarrass nobody. But Josh, when your wife stood up with that little baby and thanked God that God had given, made her a mother, she became a mother this year, you better, hey, she better put that in her heart and ponder it. And I'm going to tell you something else. You better put it in yours and remember it. Man. It'll be a day to remember. Man. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, that don't mean anything. When you get a few years on you, and they're, hey, they're not walking in the door of your house. They're walking out the door of a church where they just got married. They're going out on their own. I'll guarantee you those things in life that they did will mean something to you then.
Right.
Ponder them. I remember when I was preaching over at Rumsey. I can tell this on Lisa. Well, I thought we had a nice car. It was a Ford. Green. Two-tone green. Pretty car. Leather seats. And I'd preached on Sunday night, and we were coming home from Rumsey, headed back up in Indiana, and it came a downpour up there on 81 going up toward Owensboro. I mean a downpour. It was thundering and lightning and booming. And me and Miss Hall was up front. Tammy was sitting over on the passenger side by the window, and Benny was in the middle, and Lisa was sitting on the driver's side behind me. And all at once, a big lightning bolt. I mean, buddy, it thundered, and the lightning crashed, and the back window on her side of the car, that window fell down. I mean, just fell. And it started. I mean, it was pouring rain on her. And when it fell, she said, "Ah, Daddy!" And I thought, honey, all it is just a little rain. But she was, it wasn't, I don't think it was much of rain. And she was wondering about that window. So you know what Daddy's got to do? Daddy's got to get out in the pour down rain, start fooling around that window, get it up some way, pull it up a little. You know how you do all that stuff. Roll it and get it up and roll it up. And she's sitting back, "Oh, Daddy! Oh, Daddy! Oh, Daddy!" Somebody said, "Now, Brother Hall, you really remember." Oh, you better believe I remember those things. And I ponder them. I'll guarantee you Miss Hall ponders them in her heart. I'll never forget when she got married. We met Douglas in Knoxville. He supposedly called the state police and said, "Interstate 40 is clear all the way, buddy." Said, "You can go all the way." So we took up to go up to Interstate 40 toward Asheville. Got up in there right on the other side of Newport, and I come up over a ridge, and all I could see was taillights and a one-way. Snow on all sides, that deep. And here we are moving like this. And the longer we go, the more pressure things begin to build up inside that automobile. And I mean, it got bad. And finally, Lisa said, "Daddy, just pull over. I can't take it no longer." By the grace of God, about that time, we come up on that rest area on Interstate 40, and there was cars everywhere. And I just plunged that car, whatever we were driving, off into the middle of a snowbank. And I was in as bad a shape as they was. And I went rolling out of it. Oh, everybody else went rolling out of it. Buddy, we hit them bathrooms. We all come back out. I didn't see Miss Hall. And the car was moved from where I left it. Here she comes back out, and I can tell she ain't no happy camper. I said, "Sweetheart, what's the matter?" She said, y'all jumped out of the car and said there's some idiot behind me blowing the horn, hollering, "Move, move, move," and said, "I'm in as bad a shape as y'all's in. I got to stay here and move the car while y'all's in there getting relief. I'm out here being cussed." You think she'll ever forget that? You got it right. I won't either. We've got a picture of Lisa over at the house in a little old polka dot dress, pink with white polka dots. We took that picture in Cuthersville, Indiana. And I remember holding her in my arms as a little baby, waiting in that line. She started sweating, hot in that place, and she fell asleep. We had to wake her up to get that picture taken. And when she woke up, she was just as happy as a little lark. And we got the picture at the house. But I've got the memory right there. And every now and then I ponder on that just a little bit. I think about it. Hey, folks, they're worth thinking about. I remember one day when we were picking up Elizabeth. We met Doug and Lisa at that rest area down in Tennessee with that lake down there. I can still see that mug of hers, buddy. Behind her daddy in a car seat. And when we were when they finally come pulling in there beside of us, I can still see her. Boy, she thought heaven had just landed. Poppy and Ducey had made their way down to pick her up. Oh, I remember all these things. We was taking her back to meet him one time in the van. I'm talking about pondering things in your heart. We was taking her back to meet her mom and daddy down in Tennessee in the van. And she wasn't in no car seat. She just up moving around. We got close to where we're meeting Doug. And Lisa said, okay. Said Elizabeth said, you got to get in your car seat. I said, why? She said, because her daddy said she has to be in a car seat. And before I realized what I was saying, I said, if he says one word, I'll throw him and the car seat down off one of these mountains. But I put her in the car seat anyway. Ponder these things. Mary pondered all those things in her heart. The day of Jesus' birth. I want to ask you something, Mama. Daddy, can you go back to the day those children were born? Do you ever go back there and ponder those things in your heart? Do you remember when those children were born? When they came into this world and you for the first time in your life became a mother? The second time, the third time. But I'm going to tell you, there was no more joy in the second and the third than there was in the first. That little baby is born. That a life giver and a bond brought that child into this world and has loved it all these years and cared for it all these years, and Mama don't ever quit caring for him. Don't ever quit loving them. Amen. That's right. Mary pondered. She's not pondering, wondering. She's a pondering person. Then this last little old thing. I think you all got two more little things. She's a real pleasant person, a mother ought to be. Pleasant. Not gripey, chewy. I don't know. I'm not very educated, so I don't know the sophisticated words to use. But she ought to be a pleasant person. You remember the story of Abigail and Nabal? The word Nabal, it means fool. And she told David, said, Nabal's his name. That's what he is. He's Nabal. And David had guarded his sheep, yet Nabal refused to give David any of the food from the sheep. And David said, well, told his men, said, saddle up, get ready. He said, we're going to kill every male down there, all of them. We're going to kill them all. But here comes Abigail out to meet him. One of the servants had told her what Nabal had done. And she comes to meet him. She's got food, supplies. She gives them to David. And the Bible said she was a very beautiful woman, had a very pleasant countenance. She was a very pleasant person. She was married to a fool, to a Nabal. I don't know how things like that happen, but here is a woman that is very kind. She's very pleasant to be around. She's not a big mouth woman. She's an intelligent woman. She's a wise woman. She knew that bringing that stuff to David would spare the wrath of David on her husband and on all those men that were there. She knew that. And she's a very pleasant person. I'm telling you, I've seen some women in here she wasn't like Michael. When David danced before the Lord, Michael said, you really think you're somebody, don't you? David said, no. But I'll tell you what. He said, you'll never have a child. And she didn't. Amen. Till the day she died. Not a very pleasant person. Then I won't say in closing, she's in a place of great honor. A place of great honor. The Bible said in Genesis 2:18 that God brought Eve to Adam, and she became his helpmeet. Now, ladies, I want you to get a hold of this. Men, I want you to get a hold of this. God looked out and saw all those creatures. And he had made all those creatures, and every one of them had a mate. Except Adam. Adam had no mate. And God said, it's not good that man's alone. So I'm going to make him a helpmeet. And God brought him that help. Now, you hear, here's the line I want you to understand. Gentlemen, your life without a wife is incomplete. Adam said, she's now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And I'm just telling you, that is an honorable position. That rib was taken right from the heart of Adam. And that's the place a woman ought to have in your heart. That woman that's given birth to your children, she's in an honorable place in the home. Because that home is not complete. If you don't believe it, gentlemen, try to batch for a while. Ain't that right, Brother Chuck? Try to do without them for a while. Try eating cans of cold pork and beans for supper and a hot dog for breakfast and wet rabbit track stew for lunch and coming home to a house with nobody there and sitting there and staring at the walls. You'll find out real quick that God gave you somebody to be a companion and bring company, amen, to your home and warmth to your home and love to your home. And that person is called a mother.
Right.
And it's wonderful with her. I've spent over 44 years with that one sitting right there. As a songwriter said, he's all I need, she's all I need. I don't need another one. I'm not looking for another one. She's been good to me and good to my children. Better believe she has. And all the things I told you, and I could tell you dozens and dozens of other things in our life that I've pondered over through the years. When our kids went astray, I pondered that in my mind. Was it my fault? Did I do something to cause it? But I'm going to tell you what. Mama and I just kept on praying. Kept on loving. And we did it together. Because, hey, my life would not be complete without her. I told her the other day, I said, honey, if you die, I don't want to live another minute. I meant that. If something was to happen to her today, I would not want to live one minute. You know why? My life would not be complete anymore. And I would feel like that my mission on earth was fulfilled. I mean that. I think if she'd go home, God be ready for me. God be done with me. Amen. I don't want to be without her. And I'm going to tell you something else. I don't want to be without my children. You children may laugh at this. But I'm telling you right now, you live a wild, rugged life. Get out here, hey. And they've been young people that's done it. So let me give you this as an illustration and I'll shut up. We went when we was up for the funeral at my daughter and my sister-in-law's. We went to the cemetery where Mommy and Daddy is buried. There's two boys up there, brothers. One of them is Glenn Holland. The other one is Gary Holland. They were brothers. Glenn had just bought a barber shop where her daddy got his hair cut all the time. He was engaged to this girl to be married. And maybe the night before they was to get married, they was out in his Corvette, out on one of them back roads, flying high. Went off the road, lost control of the car, rammed off into the bushes of Buttman or something, and killed them both. And people didn't think much about it. Things like that happened. But would you believe that his younger brother, Gary, was engaged to be married. And just a couple of days before the wedding day, in like manner, not the girl, but just himself, was out in an automobile running too fast. It went off the road and hit a tree, and he died in that automobile. I want to ask you something. Who do you think shed the tears? Children, better listen to me well. Who do you think shed the tears? Can you imagine that boy, them boys' mama? She had already walked by the casket of one boy. Had got too heavy on the accelerator pedal. Now she's walking by the casket of another boy. They got too heavy on the accelerator. And I don't doubt for one minute when Mrs. Holland walked by those caskets, she went back to the very day that as a mother she brought them into this world and thought about that very day, and now they're gone. And mama's left alone to weep over those boys. So children, when you act silly, you're not hurting yourself. You're hurting mommy and daddy. You hurting mommy and daddy. Don't play silly. Be right with God. And love your mama like they love you. Let's stand together.